Hello, fellow Redbirds. Welcome to Bird Fans Forever, podcast number 54. Please follow us on @BirdFansForever Twitter account to be notified of our latest podcast videos. Also, go to our website, www.birdfansforever.com, where you can find a list of our previous podcasts. Finally, go visit Bird Fans Forever on YouTube and slam dunk on that subscribe button. Our YouTube site has Redbird Game Archives, where you can find a classic Redbird game to watch. We've been getting a lot of videotapes from friends of the podcast that John's been transcribing to our video library. Our guest today played for the Illinois State Redbirds for the past three seasons. He was recruited by Coach Muller and was one of the two players who stayed to play for Coach Peden for two seasons. A high-energy guy who I always love to see on the court for us. A couple highlights for the past three seasons. He scored 18 points and had 9 boards versus Southeast Missouri State and had 15 points and 10 rebounds playing UIC this past season. Please welcome to the podcast, Redbird for Life, Kendall Lewis.
This is Bird Fans Forever, episode 54, with my man Kendall Lewis. Welcome in, big boy. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm glad to be here.
This is awesome. We had Colton Sandage, one of your teammates, on earlier, so we're any trash talking you want to do, we love it.
Oh, yeah.
You are a man after my own heart. 13 double-doubles according to our numbers. All your stats isn't into the record book yet, but according to what we have seen, 13 double-doubles, big man. That is awesome at ISU. Love it. So, this is Bird Fans Forever, and we're not a typical media thing. If we were ever good at this podcast, we'd come up with a different intro question. How'd you get to ISU?
It was a journey. I knew a coach. He coached at the Skills Factory in Georgia, a prep school, and I worked out with him. I know a couple guys kind of connected. His name was Rob Johnson, and he got the job with Muller as assistant coach. And I was talking to him, working out with him all summer, and he told me to come up there. I was looking for a school because I just left App, and I was looking for a school, and it was perfect because he could go up there, and he was a good skill development guy, so I was big on that, and I just went up there with him. He took me and Mark Freeman from – he's at Moorhead now. Well, he's in a portal, but he was at Moorhead, player of the year, and, yeah, it was just through connections, through people I knew.
So how did that – I mean, you were at Appalachian State. Did you already commit to leave Appalachian State?
Yeah.
And then – you know, and then you right. reached out to Dan.
I was in the portal. I had went to the portal early. I could just go ahead and tell you what happened at Appalachian State because that's a story in itself.
This is your podcast, man. You tell the story you want to tell.
So at Appalachian State, it was just a conflict between me and the coach. He wanted me to be the board man, the rebound guy, the defender, the young energy guy, the freshman. And I wasn't really understanding, like, that's the role I best fit for that team. And that's what he was trying to make me understand. But I was like, I'm a hooper. I want to hoop. I want to score. I want to get a bucket. And I remember one practice, this is probably the final practice, I was trying to score everything, trying to shoot everything. And he was like, it was not going. I wasn't making everything, but I feel like I was doing pretty good. But he wasn't, it wasn't. It was unorthodox, of course. And so he got to talking to me. He was like, Kendall, that's not the type of shots you shoot. And we went back and forth. We got to arguing. And then he kicked me out of practice and suspended me and all that. And he suspended me indefinitely. And then he gave me the decision to enter the portal, opt out that year, or be a practice player for the rest of the year. So I decided to enter the portal. And I drove back to Georgia. Probably that day after that meeting, I drove back to Georgia and I was in the portal just looking for options.
All right, so you're looking for options. You know Coach Johnson.
Johnson.
And so then does Dan contact you? One of the assistants contact you? How does that work?
Yeah, Rob Johnson, he was an assistant. Like they gave him they gave him the assistant job, so he already had it, and he was telling Coach that he got some players down here that he wants to bring up there with him. So Coach trusted his word, and he brought me up there. I mean, I don't think I talked to Muller. I had a phone call with Muller, but I think I was already pretty committed before the phone call with Muller.
Okay.
Like, just the connection with Rob and And then when I got up to campus, that was my first, like when I moved in, that was my first time on campus. I watched the virtual thing, but that was it. But I really, even when I went up there, it wasn't like anything different. They were all love, except me. They showed that they wanted me there. All of them wanted me there, all the coaching staff. So it was all good.
Very cool.
It's COVID year. Could you not take campus visits?
You couldn't. So I was just virtual everything, virtual campus tours, all that.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It was a crazy time.
They didn't tell you about the virtual winter, did they?
No. It's no virtual that. You can't simulate that. Not simulate that.
Does Appalachian State get cold during the winter, or are they pretty close to Georgia's temperature?
No, it definitely snows a lot more, but
okay,
definitely not normal or Illinois at all. the wind is definitely a factor, crazy factor.
All right, so before we hit the next question, Coach Judson gave me a pop quiz for you.
Okay. Oh Lord.
Bill Russell rebounding.
Yeah. Throw your heart over the rim and grab it with two hands. That's the key. That's the key to everything. That's how I feel like I get my rebound. Just the fire Coach Just. I don't even think it has anything to do with Bill Russell. I feel like it's just Coach Just's energy. His energy himself would make you want to grab every board that you see. And I just use his energy, and I love it. I love that man.
And I will tell you this, a kid of the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and Bill Russell had retired by that point, mm-hmm. and every rebounding camp talked about Bill Russell, because everybody was rebounding one-handed
right.
in the 60s and 70s, because Wilt did it, and Wilt just mm-hmm. Wilt was Wilt, right? But Bill went up there with two hands, and so, I mean, that was drilled into us, and especially for the kids in the 80s, so,
yeah.
All right. Nice job, right? Coach Judson's on next. He's on episode 55. He's going to be proud of you.
I got to see that, yeah.
Little hint, there might be a second pop quiz coming also later in the episode.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready.
All right. So you play a year under Muller. They let him go, right? Coach Rob Johnson takes over, and I'm horribly dyslexic, so you'll see me mess some things up. Just go with the flow, big boy. You're good.
I'm with it.
And then you get. Talk about that transition, because I went through a transition also my senior year, but now this is your junior year, or technically your senior year. Your COVID not year yet. So
right.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it was the transition from losing because we lost him. It wasn't middle of the season, but we still had some games left. So we lost him early. We had the interim coach, Coach Lee Jones. And he coached, and like that time period was bad for the whole team. Just everybody's true emotions came out and how they really felt about the season, and nobody really had much hope for the end of the season. And so it was kind of like downing, but I was like, all right, this is the rock bottom. We can't get any lower than this. So I know moving on, we can only progress from here. And Peden came in. We had a Zoom call with Peden after our final game. And it was a bad time to talk to him, because nobody was even interested. Everybody was probably thinking about getting in the portal. And so we weren't even really paying attention. So I remember we talked to him probably for 20 minutes, and I don't even remember a thing he said in that phone call, but I was just like, I don't know what's going to happen this next year. It's a lot going on. I got to reflect. It was like the same day we lost, so it was just kind of, but then he came in and he really got the moving fast. Like he got the working out, and like he was strict on if you're 1 minute late to study hall, the counselor lady gonna write it down. She gonna write your name down, send it to him. And those are the people he was sending out, putting in the portal. Those are the people that he was making scholarship spots. That's how he was making scholarship spots. He was seeing who was really, and that was big time. And when I seen that, I knew he was like, he wanted to make a change and wanted to make it fast. And that was his main message. He wanted to come in and make this a 1 to 2 year thing. He didn't want to drag it all the way out and build, slowly build. He wanted to build fast. And I was with that. He challenged me. He challenged me to do that. And I know he was this is his first year coaching. And so I know he wasn't coming in thinking he knew it all. He was coming in asking us questions, asking us how we think things are. And I really respected that. And I took that as a challenge for myself too, because this was my culture before. It hasn't been good in the year I was there. So I feel like I should take this on as my challenge to try to build this culture. And I think it's on a good upcline, and I'm excited to see what they got. They got a lot of good pieces coming in these years, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see.
It seemed to me that you took over like right away, like after that change started, like almost right away, you kind of started emerging as a leader, you know. And I think you had like a different role, you know, during the regular season. There's a coaching change, and like it was like you were the player that kind of stepped up and started emerging as a leader. We kind of noticed it right away. Did it happen because during that do you remember this, that video they shot of Coach Peden coming to work early in the morning? And you were in that you crashed that video?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly.
That was awesome, because it wasn't planned, and he was kind of like trying to scoot you aside. You were like, hey, right.
right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That was an awesome moment. No, but
my question is, 7 a.m. in the morning for a college student, mm-hmm. Were you just coming in after you'd hit Denny's or something from being out all night, or were you actually coming in, man, to get an early morning workout? I'm just asking.
7 a.m. I probably wake up 5 a.m. every morning. So 7 a.m. Oh, dang. So 7 a.m. probably, I'm up by 7 a.m. I'm in the gym getting some food, probably just snacking. I don't even know why I was up there. It was destiny. I was supposed to be in that video. We were supposed to meet in that video, because I don't know why.
No joking aside, it really seemed like you really stepped up and started emerging it as a leader at that point.
I appreciate that. I just took it upon myself, because I seen how bad we were doing. And I feel like anybody who is a competitor or wants to do anything in basketball, if you had the year that we had with Mueller, and it's not even because of Mueller, it was just that year. If you had that year and you seen how low the team was and how bad people felt and how it wasn't even about the basketball, it was just about like pride and just wanting to, like, knowing it's a lot more we could have achieved, and just feeling like you left a lot out there, and just using that as your motivation to build in these next years. And that's what I did. I just tried to build as much as I can, build the culture, and just build my pride back up, because those are some rough years, man. Those are tough.
Yeah.
So Kendall, your high game at ISU is 24 points against Northwestern State. And we think we know what the secret was. You and the team prepped in the airport, and if you had done that your whole career, who knows? You first round draft pick NBA. So tell us about that experience and how being in the airport for 12 hours prepped you for that game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think many people know the struggle of film in the airport and what that brings out of a team. It just brings everybody together. But nah, it was tough. It was a rough 12 hours. We got like maybe two flights canceled back to back, and then we got on an airplane and it was leaking gas, and we could see the gas on the wing. Like we saw something leaking off the wings, and we was like, oh no. And so that airplane would have only been the team on it, but nope, we wasn't getting on that one. We got off of that one, and so they was just still rushing to find. So at this point, it's been like 8 hours, and then we just got this flight canceled. So we're like, what are we about to do? So coach is like, all right, we got to stay on track. So they find an empty terminal and just put the projector on a little wall, and we all just sitting there just going over all the players on the wall. And right after that, we get the plan. We play I think we played cops and robbers. I think we played. We had a little ball. We were playing catch through the whole freaking. We were playing high. We were playing everything, just trying to pass time. But it definitely was a bonding experience, and we definitely made the best out of it.
And who was good at cops and robbers?
let me see. Actually, Ryan Smith is not the best robber because he can't hide anywhere.
He can't hide anywhere, man.
At all. So he kind of gave up. He kind of just gave up. But yeah, it was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. So talk about you guys, the first year under Coach Peden, you guys did a tournament out of the country. Tell us about going to the Cayman Islands.
The Cayman, yeah, that was amazing. The Cayman Islands is beautiful. It was like, as far as basketball goes, I kind of wiped that out of my head because I was not the best. We went 0-3, but after that trip, I can say we definitely made some improvements. Like we went on a good little run after the trip, so it was a positive out of the trip. But we definitely went 0-3. We played LSU. Played
Rhode Island.
Uri Kostas. That was when he was at St. Louis. We played them and no, dang, that was a year before. Yeah, we played some good teams. We played some good teams. But one memorable thing about that trip was this was at the hotel. This is after we were just getting waxed. I think we just got waxed by LSU. And they had snorkeling and they had like jet ski rentals. And then they had like this sailboat rental. And we was like, we got to get on something. And we couldn't get on the jet skis because they were scared we were going to get hurt. And they allowed us to get on the boats because they didn't think we knew how to sail it. But we figured out how to sail a boat. It was me, Liam, and Luke. Liam McChesney and Luke Kazook. All three of us figured out how to sail the boat. Liam probably already had prior knowledge because he was from freaking Canada. Prince Rupert, and that's all they did out there.
Yeah.
But he was probably the reason that we were pretty safe. But yeah, we went sailing, just got up and decided to go sailing. And that's always gonna be memorable to me.
Yeah, those team trips those are the bonding moments,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. For sure. Those are the pieces that you always gonna miss. No matter how the season goes, you always gonna miss those moments.
Yep.
So we don't want to talk about losses anymore. Let's talk about some wins. So let's talk about this year. Little trip down I-74 into Indiana, visiting the newly ranked Sycamores, number top 25 team. You come in, you say hello, and you hand them a loss right away. So let's talk about that game.
Oh, it's so many components in that game that just it's so amazing. Like the freaking zone we were in. It was like a, I don't even know what to call it, but we made it work. It was very unorthodox because it was no principles. We ran it earlier in the season and we were just so focused on the principles and where we think we need to be, and like if somebody's there then we're there. If this happens then that, and it wasn't that at all. It was just play basketball. It was man principles but in the zone. And once we let go and let it out. I mean, let go and just play basketball. We confused them because we were everywhere on the court. There was no rules. We were one time they were running the same play and we would do different things each time they ran it just because we were just figuring out on the run and talking. And that's a big thing. I think that's a big thing overall for us. It's just we really should have let go a lot more in a lot of different aspects. But we're not gonna talk about. We really need to talk about Mr. Johnny Kinzinger that game. That man was a freaking all-star. He was looking like, I don't know, but I guess I got it.
When we talk about the defense,
you got to talk about it.
Yeah. But
yeah,
it wasn't just the defense. Your offense came to life that game. And then from that game forward the rest of the season, you guys started putting up points and the offensive flow. I mean, he kicked it off that game, but everybody started stepping up.
Right. It was. I feel like it was like a, like whenever you play like a big team, it's kind of just like a, like you don't got nothing to lose type of mentality. And that's how you really could have played the whole season. But it's just a mindset thing, and I think that really opened us up. It opened our offense up because we were struggling to hit shots. We had a little stretch. We were struggling to hit shots, but we knew the pressure was on them, and so we came in there just free and just playing basketball. It showed. We got the victory. It showed how effective that was.
But okay, so we give the guards some credit, right? But we got Pemberton on here, and you and Miles were like a double-double machine.
Yeah.
See, I mean, you had three, and Miles was getting – I mean, it's like you look in the box score, it's like we got two – not one guy scoring double-doubles. We got two guys with double-doubles. That to me was like – and it was like consistent too.
Yes. It was just the goal. Like some Coach Judd challenged us to do every game. Like every game he's telling us, Bill Russell rebound. And like I feel like it's my job. I didn't score as much as I probably should have or would have, but I was always making sure that I'm gonna control the board. And I'm looking at the stats and Indiana State they had Kent. He was on the. I always look at the matchup that I have and who's boarding the best on their team. And whenever it's a challenge, I feel like I got to step up. And I know what type of challenge is going to take that game. That's how I feel all game. And I feel like because of how I produce with the rebounds, people are always going to challenge me. So I know I got to every game. I got to keep it up. I got to keep the attack up. And it's not hard. And it's, I don't feel like it's hard. Rebound is probably the easier aspect of the game because it's really just the effort. It's really just effort. Just going to go get it. And it's like you either go and try to go get it or you don't. You might – if you go, you got it. You have a 100 – you have a 0% chance of getting a rebound if you don't go. But if you go, you might get a tip out. You might get a tip into somebody. So that's how I think of it. Just always go. Just cause.
Well, I always thought like defensive rebounding was like – being smart, and even if you're not athletic, you can be a good defensive rebounder. But you were a good offensive rebounder, too. And good offensive rebounders, they got a couple of things. They got some athletic ability. They usually can slash in, right? But they also got this insane sense of, like, they see the shot, and they can see kind of where the ball's coming off, too. You were not just a good defensive rebounder. I think you were our best offensive rebounder.
I appreciate it.
And you said rebounding is easy, but there's very few of us that can, you being one this year, and right, and Foster and Big Chase, you guys did a heck of a job blocking out, making contact, going to get the ball, right? I mean, you say it's easy, but very few people do it, right? So it can't be that easy, right? Yes, I mean, or else everybody have 10 rebounds, right?
Right.
That's just not how it works.
Yes, sir.
So, all right. Pop quiz number two.
Let's do it.
Four parts of one-on-one defense.
Four parts of one-on-one defense.
This is why they had to switch to zone.
It's like it's ball pressure. It's ball pressure. No paint. Check out. No ball pressure. Contest shot and check out.
There you go.
Oh.
Hey, Kendall.
I was stuck for a second.
Yeah. When you said contest shot, I misspelled contest, and you'll see it in the podcast. I misspelled it. I couldn't figure out what the third one was when Coach Judd talked to me today. So I knew of the three.
We got it, though. We got it.
Coach Judd's going to be proud of you, man. He's going to be so proud of you. Yes, all right. Horton Fieldhouse, you have played it twice. Amazing old barn of a facility, but how was it like playing there?
It's amazing. It's the true, like I said it in a video before, it's the true Redbird experience. It's the most Redbird pride you feel in one area. In the whole basketball season, the crowd feel like they're on top of you. The whole gym is shaking. Everybody's pumped up. The student section is all. I like where it's at in Oregon. It's like right under that basket, and they come. They bring it every time. Shout out my guy Trevor, He doesn't let up. That's my guy. He's there every game. same energy all the time. That's the man.
Yep. He is on podcast number 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Getting old. Yeah, so we had him on the podcast early on. So
yes,
loved his energy there trying to get other students involved. It was amazing. So, all right, big man, here we go. Let's talk about NLI, right? NLI and transfer portal. What is a player, from player's perspective, let's ask that way. As a player's perspective, what do you think of the NLI and what do you think of the transfer portal?
Yeah, the NIL.
Thank you. You know, I've already told you I'm dyslexic, man.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
Signing his national letter of intent.
Yeah, with national letter of intent, which you and I signed year in and year out, I didn't mean that.
Right.
Name, image, and likeness. Thank you, Kendall. Thank you for saving me.
For sure. I think it's how you take it, and I think it's how, like, if you're simply playing for the money, and I think they feel like the main problem would be like it would make people lose love for the game, or like lose, like it'll just take away from the game and just like the desire to want to be better at basketball instead of just trying to go to places trying to get more money, just chasing money instead of chasing, like, staying out of school and trying to win. Like I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but like that's what I focus on, is just trying to focus on the culture I was at and trying to build that to where I wanted it to be. I looked at a lot of different NIL opportunities, a lot of different schools offering different amounts of money, but I had to take the money. Of course I was considering the money. Of course the money is a factor, but I had to take the money along with everything else. And I'm never going to put the money over any of my morals, my goals, and like things I believe in. So it's really just who you are, really, and just how you want to go about things. I'm not saying, like, I do feel like players should be reimbursed for their all the things they do all season, and the school and basketball, the combination, just balancing that's tough. And money is it definitely helps that. It takes some stresses away, takes a lot of stresses away, and just help you focus on basketball, because you don't got to worry about paying rent or doing stuff like that, doing the little stuff. You can just focus on what you came here for.
Right.
And yeah, I like it, but I can see how I can go overboard and how people take it to and just make it bad and make it bad for the game. I do see both sides, but I'm totally pro giving players what they're worth, and for sure.
Okay, talk transfer portal.
Transfer portal. That's a beast. That's a monster. That is a monster. It's probably, I don't know, 2,500 people in there. It's deep. But I of course I've been in the transfer portal, so I like the idea of the transfer portal, and it gives because COVID, like before COVID, like all the rules and stuff never really made sense to me, and I never really understood them. And so, like, this, like, transfer portal just already makes sense to me. And I don't really see, like, why you would put, I do see, like, some restrictions, but because people, it's just like a player to player basis, because some people overuse the portal and some people need to get out of the situation that they're in, because some people are in tough situations.
Great.
So it's like, but like with the NIL, like the combination of NIL and the transfer portal is really like is really making things just a business. It's making things entertainment, and just that, I think the combination of the both is really the problem. Just if I can get this money this year and I can get some more money, I'm gonna just keep going to where I can get more money at. And I don't think that's like what I said, taking away from the game. And so I like the transfer portal idea, but it can be abused and overused, and it is a lot. And I feel like it's going to just get worse, because NIL is going to get bigger, and people probably stop going to college, really. People might, I think that's far down the road, but I think college basketball is slowly fading away with NIL and all these leagues and stuff.
And let's call out, you are graduating, right? So yes. You went into the transfer portal. You're going to get a degree.
Yes, sir.
Right? And we know as former players, the degree is worth a lot more money than the rest of your life.
For sure.
It gives you opportunities. Yeah, so hats off to you to getting your degree. Steve?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I think you talked about your experience, right, and mm-hmm. why you went into the portal. I mean, that's a perfect example, like, where the rule change makes
right.
sense. You and your former coach came to the conclusion that mm-hmm. it was best, and now could you imagine that you moved, now you got to wait and sit out a year, too.
Right.
Yeah, so right. So I being so strict one end doesn't necessarily make sense, but like as you pointed out, right. like people focus on the other people, like, oh, they've been in four places or
right.
you know, or six places, you know, some of these places with the COVID year and a red shirt. I mean, that mm-hmm. gets to be a little bit crazy.
It does.
Let's talk about it. So you're going to graduate, you know, mm-hmm. This upcoming weekend. What's your plans after you graduate?
Yeah, I just recently, last week, signed a deal with my agent. His name's Mike Nadich. I don't know, remember the agency off the top of my head, but he's looking, we getting stuff into the works right now. He's looking, talking to people, and it's looking very positive. I'm very excited for this future, for these things to come up. I'll be going to Atlanta probably later in the month. Just, I'm going to start working out, start getting workouts and training. And just like right now, I've been working out, but not fully. I've been trying to rest my knee a little bit, heal my knee up because it's been bothering me a little bit. And like little things that I got from all these past couple of years, all these little injuries, just trying to get them right. So when I work out,
yeah, I'm
100 yep. and ready to go.
Good. All right. Kendall, thank you for being on. This is where we give closing arguments. This is your closing. So here you go.
I appreciate you guys and they're just appreciating me, showing me appreciation and showing how much that I mean to the Redbirds. And that just explains right there why I put so much into the Redbird culture and everything I do because of people like you guys and just all y'all, all the good words and the good encouragement y'all give. It means everything. And Coach Peden and the staff and just had the trust that they put in me this year and just to lead and to help grow this culture with them. That's a big thing. That's his job. That's his job on the line. And he trusted me to help lead with him. And I always thank him for that. Coach Slay, we had our personal talks. We're real close. That's my guy, Coach Slay. I'm talking to him every day. And we growing outside the court. We do things outside the court. We go to church together. And it's just building relationships, building big relationships outside. Coach Justin, always instilling wisdom onto us, always giving us quotes, giving us good things, food for thought. He's a gold mine. If you talk to him, you'll learn a lot. He knows a lot. That's a good guy. And Andrew Dogic, can't forget about Doc, the funny guy. He really one of us. He's really one of the players, but he always just encouraging us all the time. I got to shout out everybody. Chief, Mike, Astrioni. That's my guy too. He in charge of everything, handle everything. If I ever need any help, he was there. Anything I needed, he was there. He's always looking out. Tyler Hicks, he left, but that man too. He same thing. If I needed anything, he was there. Jack Betts, everybody there. I feel like I gotta say everybody. Everybody did something amazing for me, and I never wanna not appreciate somebody or not give somebody their flowers, but last person I'll probably say is Kelly. Kelly, the advisor, the academic advisor. It was some rough times and going traveling, doing work, but not wanting to do work. And she looking out, letting us know when the due dates are, talking to professors, getting us extensions on deadlines. And just she came clutch so many times. And everybody in the Redbird community, everybody I just want to thank. And of course I want to thank God for protecting me, to letting me get here and letting me be the person I am and present myself as I am and be able to be strong enough to hold this culture and to go through what I went through and being able to be healthy through this all. And that's a blessing upon itself.
That is a huge blessing.
Sure. Yep. And, I just want to thank everybody. So many more people I can thank, but these are the main.
All right, Kendall. This is Kendall Lewis. Yes, played 3 years with the Redbirds. You are now RB4L, right? Redbird
yes,
for
sir.
Life, brother.
For
you,
life.
I mean,
for
you life. Earned that. I mean, you don't. You, that's not bestowed upon you. You were earned that. So, love watching you play. Love the leadership. And, God, when you were on that glass ripping things down like Bill Russell, man, I was in the crowd. Yeah, smiling. So, man, love you. So, okay, this is Bird Fans Forever, episode 54 with Kendall Lewis. John, hit it.